That back of the line business is hard stuff, isn't it? You laugh at them, it was cute, right? Guess what? When it becomes real as adults, it isn't cute anymore, is it? Today, with the Lord's help, I want to bring you a message called Your Place in Line. Your Place in Line. I want you to turn to the person beside of you, and I want you to say, did you know you have a place in line? Now, that person knew that, and they struggle with it. Believe me, they struggle with it. We all struggle with it. But today, I want you to see how the Scripture lets this come alive to us so that we can be able to see this big struggle that we have in life. And if we can, by chance, hear the Word of God and be able to apply the Word of God, we'll get this right. And from this, if you can let this mindset be a mindset that can happen to you, you will be not only blessed here in this earth, but you'll be blessed for all of eternity. And it's one simple thing. One simple thing. It's just knowing your place in line. And so today, I want to start by giving you the Scripture. In order to find the Scripture, you're going to need to have your Bible. So if you have your Bible, stand up, raise it above your head, bear witness of God's Word. I'm going to ask you to turn in three places today. The place that we're going to be in for the majority of time that you're going to see the story in is going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and 20. Matthew 19 and 20. So when you find that place, mark it, and then know that we're going to start in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians 3. So that's Matthew 19, Ephesians 5, Galatians 3. So we'll skip around a little bit, but if you want to just get somewhere and park, you can do that in Matthew 19 and 20. So when you find your place, say, I have it. I want to tell you that today we have deacons here that are going to be ordained in their families. And I can't think of a more important thing to be able to impress upon them, but not only them, to you, than this. Their service and the success of their service and the way that their service pleases God in the office of deacon will all depend on how well they know their place in line. And I want us to be able to wrap our mind around this morning, and I'm going to try to move through the Scriptures, but I want you to be able to see that God gives us pieces of His Word that if we put them together the way He wanted us to, we'll be able to figure out this life to be able to please Him. We start in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So if we turn to Ephesians 5, we realize that as Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, the first two verses let us see one of the first keys. He tells us in Ephesians 5:1, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, the thing that comes to my mind is a family of geese or a family of ducks and watching the little geese or little ducks follow behind the big male goose and the mom goose. And I know there's proper names, but they're not coming to me right now. I get one of them, but I don't want to go there. Listen, I'm just saying they follow behind them, but they learn to do the things that their parents do. They learn to emulate them and imitate them. And this was his response. Paul was telling virtually a new church, be followers of God. In other words, do what God would teach you to do. And then in verse 2, he gives us how we're supposed to do that. So Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So now we get the key. In order to follow God and imitate God and be like God, then we need to walk on this earth. Now, talking about right here, like Jesus. You see, Jesus walked on this earth, and we've worn those bracelets before. We knew that phrase, WWJD. What did it mean? What would Jesus do? And we wore it around to remind us, am I doing what Jesus would do? Well, he tells us immediately in verse 2, he says, walk in love. Surely there's more instruction than that, right? Walk in what?
Love.
Walk in love. Surely it's got to be more complicated than that. Walk in love. I don't get it. Now, I want you to understand that in this verse, he's able to tell us by walking in love, we're supposed to do this. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And what did he do? He'th given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So if I'm going to walk like Jesus did, I'm going to walk in love, what did Jesus do Somebody tell me, what did Jesus do that shows me and shows you that he walked on this earth in love? What did he do? He died on the cross. But more than that, he sacrificed a lot more than that. Do you realize Jesus started in heaven? The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It means that he was with God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's what John 1 tells us. And then he became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus left the comforts of heaven. He left his position in heaven. He left his authority in heaven. He left his preeminence in heaven. He left the comforts and the perfect nature of heaven. And then he came to this earth, and what did he get? You say, well, he gave his life. Well, more than that, he sacrificed a lot more. Do you know he sacrificed what people thought of him? My Bible tells me that he was mocked, he was persecuted, he was spit on, he was condemned, he was outcast, he was brutally beaten. He gave a lot, didn't he? He sacrifices. Why would he do that? Simple answer, because he loved us. So he walked in love. His whole life was about sacrificing. I will give up my position so that your position can be better. Now, do you understand the premise? Now, we move on. When we get to verses 20 and 21, Paul gives instruction to the church in the church body. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. He says, giving thanks always for things unto God, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So always thanking God, but listen to verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want you to say that with me. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I want you to pay special attention to the beginning of this verse. Submitting yourselves. Who's this written to? Well, it's written to me. Who are you saying it's written to? It's written to you also. Submitting yourselves one to another. Who am I supposed to submit to? I'm supposed to submit to you. You're supposed to submit to you. You're supposed to submit to me. I'm supposed to submit to you. Submitting yourselves one to another. Can you imagine that thought? If everybody's submitting themselves, well, you say, well, what do you mean by submitting? Well, submitting is a word we have a hard time with. And he talks about submission in Ephesians 5, but to give you the definition Webster gives us, submit is to offer oneself of one's free will. If I'm going to submit to you, it's not something I'm forced to do. I have to do it of my own free will, or it's just not genuine. Go over there and tell him you're sorry. How many times has a child ever heard that? Well, I heard it a lot, right? And I had two brothers. Understand, it went something like this. Sorry, right? I submitted to my brother, but it wasn't genuine. I didn't really submit. As a matter of fact, when he turned around, I'd probably slap him, right? And it would start right back up. That's the way it works, right? Can I get a witness? Anybody in here? Okay. So, submitting is to offer yourself of your own free will. He says submissive, the word, means humbly obedient. So, a big key here. Humbly means that I'm putting myself below or behind. Do you understand the word below or behind is a position word? Now, stay with me on this, because submission, well, it's a position word. All of us are battling for position in line. And to be humbly obedient, to be submissive, to be able to offer oneself of your free will, understand what he's trying to show us is that in all of this subject, it means that you are willing to give up a position to let someone else move ahead. This is going to hurt a little bit. When God laid this on my heart and I saw the simplicity of what he was wanting to show me, I've been excited ever since he showed me this to be able to share it with you, because I think he paints a picture that you can leave here with today that will bring you closer to God. I'm excited about that. I want to talk to you today about your place in line, but I want you to understand that this word submissive to submit. And when he says in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another, understand, to a child of God, or to be a child of God, and to live a life pleasing to God, we are asked first to submit to God. How many people believe that? But then we're asked, after we submit to God, next, to submit ourselves one to another. Now, you say, well, okay, I get that. We get it, but there's something inside of us that works against that, isn't there? I mean, I'm fine with the submitting myself to God thing, but the submitting ourselves to each other, we all struggle with it. Well, let's see if you do. Let me ask you this question. I need total honesty this morning. How many believe that we all have a natural problem with submission? Now, do you know that you're born with it? You're born with it. We don't like to give up what we think is ours to someone that we think doesn't deserve it. If you don't believe me, and you're just now getting that this is a timely sermon, cut on the news and see what's happening in our society, our world. And you know the product of that? Hate. Resentment turns to hate because no one wants to give up their position. Now, God tells us in His Word that there's no person on this earth who is better or more important or more deserving than any other person. There's no person who has ever been born who is entitled to anything more than any other person. Do you know why? We are all one. We are all equally, but we're equal sinners. Before we start thinking, okay, well, we're not all equal, let me tell you, yes, He created us equal, equal sinners. Me, you, I'm still blown away this deep into my ministry to realize, and I've told you before, I still feel like probably I'm the worst one in the whole place and He's letting me preach today. I'm an experienced sinner, right? We're equally sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That means none, zero, zilch, nada. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We're all equal. God is here. We are here. Sin separates us from God. In order for anybody to get to God, they have to take God's only way, which is Jesus Christ, who said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." We take Him by believing that Jesus is our only way to God, that His blood is the only thing that can cover our sins, by believing that we are less than God and we can't get to eternity and bliss and joy without Him. So we submit ourselves and say, "Jesus, I want to submit myself. I invite You to be Lord of my life." Understand what Lord means. It means if you call Him Lord, you're agreeing that you are the servant, He is the master. Some people say Lord Jesus, but Lord means that you are submitting yourself. So He tells us to submit to God, and we understand that. But understand, then He gives us another order. So let's go on. You see, we see in Galatians 3, and this is the next place that we're going to be. I told you to go. When we give up our own will and we accept Jesus as our Savior and ask Him to be Lord of our lives, then we're submitting ourselves to His authority. And once we do this, then we are entitled to something. We're entitled to God's promises because we become God's children and we will receive blessings that those who do not submit to God's will not receive. Listen to what he says in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, we begin reading in verses 22. He says this, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." How many? "That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Isn't that neat? He gives it to all that are sin, but to anybody that believes. And then when we get to Galatians 3, verse 26, listen to what he says. "For all ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." What does this mean? I started a sinner. How did you start? Now you either still are a sinner, you're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. If you're a lost sinner, that means that you haven't used the blood of Jesus to cover your sins. If you're a saved sinner, you have, but you still continue to sin. Now, understand this. Once you become a saved sinner, you are entitled to something. Your position changes. How does your position change? You become a child of God. According to His Word, once you accept Him, you become a child of God. What does that mean? I'm God's child. Who can hurt me? If God is for me, who can be against me? My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. We can go on and we can go on. God tells us there is favor, special favor if you're a child of His. We understand that from the parent-child relationships. Who do we put the most favor on? Our children, right? We want to serve them. We want to do things. We want to be able to see them succeed. So I became a child of God when I became a saved sinner. So I don't have any problem today saying, hey, guess who you have to submit to first? Who do you have to submit to? Does anybody have a problem with saying that? No. And when a person realizes that and believes that and asks Him to be Lord of their life and invites Jesus in her heart, they become saved. And at that time, they become a child of God. That's beautiful. But see, it doesn't stop there. If it stopped right there, anyone who has become a Christian, everyone who has believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, everyone who's seen themselves as a sinner and repented of it, we would all say, that's right, preacher. Amen. You have to submit yourself to God. Amen. We're sinners and God's in authority. He's deserving of my service and my praise, and I will submit to Him. How many people would say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, well, that's only part one. That's what you have to do to be saved. But then to please God when you're saved. Hey, this is directed to Christians, okay? Here we go. You see, God doesn't stop there. We go back to the verse we started with. Listen to what He says. God tells us in Ephesians 5:21, submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Hey, I was good up to here, preacher, but that submitting myself to somebody else, I struggle with it. Can I get a witness? Anybody in here struggle with it? Meaning that basically we're supposed to be willing as Christians to submit not only to God, but to submit ourselves to each other, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to show our humility and our servantship, even in the fear of God, meaning that we do it because we're wanting to please God. We're wanting to please our Lord and Savior, so that's why we submit to others. But I'm here today to tell you, we have a problem here. Because that doesn't come naturally. You see, we don't have a problem thinking that we have to submit to God, but in order to submit to what He wants you to do, you have to submit to others. You can't just do one part of it. You can do one part and be saved, but you can't please God in your salvation unless you're willing to submit to others. Here's the problem. The fleshly, carnal part of you and me, the fleshly part of Christians, and we still have that fleshly part, it works against us because we do not naturally want someone to have something that is better than ours. Do we? Do we? Let's get real today. In your heart of hearts, do you want somebody to have something better than yours? And if you answer the question, yes, I do, then you're not thinking with your carnal, you're thinking with your spiritual. Because the natural part of you is going to fight against that spiritual. Now, stay with me. Basically, we talked about position earlier. To sum it up, we don't want someone to have a position in life better than ours. Do you know that all of our life we struggle for position? All of our life. And it comes natural. Whether it be a job or whether it's something we set a goal towards, we're going to go to 16 to 20 years of school so that we can get a position in life that's going to put us in a different place and make us more successful. And that's our end goal. Why? Because we want to be first in line. We want to be first in life, right? We want to be first. In relationships, well, we have relationships and we gear all of our things because we want to be first. There's something in front of us that doesn't want to lose position. We don't want to give anybody a position better than ours. We all have a selfish, sinful nature that makes us think that we deserve something more than someone else. I want to tell you that it's there. It is there. For every person in here, if you've ever felt slighted, if you've ever felt like, hey, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because I've done this and I've done this. Well, then we start being able to rationalize why we deserve it more than somebody else. It happens to us, doesn't it? For this reason, it makes it hard for us to submit to others. You see, God knows we struggle with this, so He gave us the end of Galatians, verses 27 through 29, to be able to show us in part, listen, hey, this whole deserving thing, that's where you're going off track. You see, we think and rationalize in our mind that we can't submit to somebody else because, hey, we have a better idea, or we're better qualified, or we've put more time in, or that person hasn't done what we've done anyway. We make something in our mind that makes us be able to justify that we deserve it more. And in Galatians 5:28, this is what basically, or Galatians 3:28, this is what God tells us. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. You know what that means? We're all at the same level. In other words, God, once you come to God through Jesus Christ, you're not looking in line like your mind has thought this whole time. When you think of line, think about the line. You see a front of the line and you see a back of the line, right? When you come to God, everybody stands this way to God. You're not in front of the line because your grandmom and granddad were super Christians, or because your family has been in this church for this long or that long, or because you passed this class, or because you've taken extra studies, and so when you come to God, you're more important. Nobody is in a different position. We're equal. Why? Because we're equal sinners. So when we come to God, we're equal. So understand, He says there's not one race of people, not one gender of people, not anything. He said Jew or Greek, male or female, bond or free. Not the slave, not the master. We're all equal. So we get that. If you get it, say, I get it. There is no one better or more important or more entitled or more deserving than anyone else. How many people agree with that? Now, here's the problem. Let me finish that sentence. Not even us. Hold on. I was good with being able to look out here at all these different groups and say, hey, they're not any better than that person. They're not any better than me, and they're not any better than me. How many people, it's easy to do that. But then we have to say, and we're not any better. See, not even us. But here's the problem. We're the ones that convince ourselves we deserved a certain position. Now, I want you to envision something. I think this is a great picture that we can look at today. And God gave me this picture, and I thought, wow, God, thank you. I needed that so bad. And I hope you can wrap your mind around that, because I think the Bible gives us these clear pictures. And it's painted today in these chapters in Matthew. Matthew 19 and 20, Jesus gives us three stories in a row. But first of all, I'm going to need you to envision something, okay? Today, we're talking about our place in line. So you've got that line in your mind, all right? I want you to envision your place in line. I want you to think about your position today as a servant of God. If God is standing in front of you and there's a line, where is your position in line? Now, I want you to think about your position in life, because today, the line that we're going to talk about is the line of life. You know that every one of us, are going through this life. And if you think about it in the application of being a lion, every one of us want to be where? In the front. If you think about every dream or goal or the work you've put forward, it is to move which way in line? And that's part of us. You know, you don't even have to teach that. You don't even have to teach it. It's weird, but inspiration for this sermon, I was talking to Angie, and she was telling me about the kids up there, the 2 and 3-year-olds. And do you know that when they stand up to go to the bathroom and they ask for a line leader. Anybody up here ever watch kids and you ask for a line leader? Do you know that they will fight each other and push them out of the way to be line leader to go pee? True? I mean, you got in line and, no, I was in line here first. I was in line here first. Nobody wants to be in the back. They want to be first. Who taught them that? Nobody did. Think about it. The things that get you are the things that you don't think about that are inside of you. This is inside of all of us, guys. It's in our carnal nature. We don't want to be last. We want to be first. And we don't want anybody that was in front of us to get in behind us to get in front of us. Why? Because I was here first, or I've done this work, or I've done this, or I deserve it. There we are again. We're saying why we deserve it. And God said, all of you are equal. There's nobody. Jew, Greek, bond, slave, free. Right? Isn't that his words? Now, how many of us are struggling with that today? Can I get a witness? So we don't need to switch sermons. We can stay here and fish, right? In Matthew chapter 19, basically, Jesus is letting us know that he's watching the line. He's observing how you respond to others in line. You know, we go back and we listen to the principles of Jesus, and Jesus has told us all through his word, a new commandment I give you, John 13, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, what did he do for us? Well, he gave everything for us. He decreased his position in line. John 15, he tells us this, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's an unselfish love, isn't it? Understand something. He drives this home, and I never saw it before. Never saw it before in all the years of studying the Bible, chapter 19 and 20. He gives us three different examples, and I'm not going to expound on these completely, but I want you to move through them so that you can see that he's trying to tell us in these stories, in these actual accounts, he gives us a clear message about our place in line. His message is, be the servant that is willing to give up your place in line. Now, the first story that we see is in Matthew chapter 19. We call it the story of the rich young ruler. How many people have ever heard the story of the rich young ruler? Listen to this story. Verses 16, he says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, listen to what Jesus tells him, keep the commandments. The guy responds, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, now listen, he's specific. He tells this guy which commandments he needs to keep. You don't think about this, but I want to show you something neat. This is the commandments Jesus told him to keep. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, something key you need to realize. These are the last commandments. All these commandments have to do with how we treat each other. The first commandments had to do with how we submit to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image, all the way down to honor do not blaspheme the name of the Lord. Keep his name sacred. Understand this. These last commandments, they have to do with how we treat each other. Now this happens in our life between each other, not in our life to God. When we're told not to take the Lord's name in vain, and we're told to honor the Lord and keep the Sabbath day holy and put the Lord first and not make any graven image, that's to God. These are to each other. So Jesus is intentional here in saying, hey, keep these commandments. He knew this guy just like he knows me and you. He says, the commandments I'm asking you to do have to do with your relationship with how you put other people. And so this guy goes on to tell him, listen, I've kept all these commandments from my youth up. And Jesus says, well, good. Then let me ask you this. If you want to follow me, he said, if thou wilt be perfect. In other words, if you want to be good in this, complete, not perfect as far as we know it, but complete. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What's the story, preacher? Here's the story. He was born with wealth. He gained wealth, whatever the situation is. He didn't want to give up the position of wealth. You see, that puts us in a position. You say, is that what he thought? Hey, a lot of us think that, don't we? We gauge our success, our peace, everything by our position of wealth. He was not willing to give it up. He was not willing to let someone else come in front of him because he said, take it, sell it, give it to somebody that needs it. That means after all he's done in his position in line, he would have to say, these people that haven't done that, you expect me to give this? I've earned it. It's mine. This is my position. I'm here. I can't let them come in front of me. Jesus asked him, go backwards in line, please. Let somebody else in front. You say, you think that's what he was saying? Well, he goes on because the next story that he gives us is similar. But you can't see it until you read the last thing that Jesus says in Matthew 19. You see, we read down to where he basically was saying, this is what you need to do. But Peter... Now, Peter's a fisherman that gave up everything to come and follow Jesus. And Peter asked him this question. Listen, in verse 27, Peter says this. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? What about our position in line, Lord? We gave up everything. Listen to what Jesus tells Peter. He says, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne in His glory. We're talking about heaven here, okay? You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or fathers, all those things are our positions in life, right? Or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. Everlasting life. He's saying, if you have given up everything, I will give you 100 times as much. In other words, if you have forsaken your position in line and let someone else get ahead and been willing to be unselfish and submit to this person, that person, and move yourself further back in line, I'm going to reward you 100-fold. And then he gives us the key. You have to see this. This is huge. This is the key. Verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last will be first. You see, Jesus was looking at the line that we call life, but he was looking at it in a totally different way than we were. You see, Jesus is trying to give us one of the keys to our blessings here on earth. Listen, guys, this is big. If you can leave here understanding this, you will be blessed, I'll guarantee you. It's a picture that Jesus is painting saying, hey, listen, here's the truth. If you are willing in your position in life or the line to be able to submit and let someone else in front of you by giving up something that you have in humility and stepping back and willing to go backwards, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be able to reward the last first and the first last. What's the worst thing about standing in line is another person breaking in front. I'm telling you, the best people in the world will go off on a line breaker. It's one thing to be patient while you're in line, but let somebody break, right? Let somebody break. How many people like it when somebody breaks? None of us. We don't like it. It brings out a side of us. You know what side it is? It's that carnal side. Here, I've been up here and I've done this, and here you broke in line, and I don't understand why you think you've got to be up here. You see, that's us being judged again, right? You say that's unrealistic. It's what Jesus is telling us, so get a grip on yourself. He said the last will be first, the first will be last. What he's trying to tell us is for those people that you think, hey, I got a good notion to go give them a piece of my mind. The Bible tells you Jesus has that taken care of. If they've done it the wrong way, the Bible says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. When they've stepped on everybody to get in front of you, and even you, you don't need to take care of it. Give up your place. Get closer to the line because I'm going to turn the line around. They'll be last, you'll be first. How good is that plan? How hard is that for us to see with our carnal mind? you get there waiting on yours and see how easy it is. You're going to need the help of the Spirit like I am to be able to let this apply in our life, right? But today we preach the Word of God, the Spirit inspired to write the Word of God, the Spirit in you will hear the Word of God, and the Spirit will help you be obedient to this promise in God's Word. That's really good. We need that, don't we? Now, there are those here in this church that will sacrifice their schedule, their convenience, their time, their effort, even their wealth so that others can be served. What happens when they do that? Well, they're going to be blessed of God. You say, oh, that's a generic term, blessed of God. No, they'll be blessed of God with peace in this world, not the worry that the people that are fighting for a position in line always have. You say, worry? Yes, I will guarantee you the thing that you have worried about, if you think about it, what have I worried about? You can relate it to your position in life, your line in life, whether it be a financial position, whether it be a relationship position, whether it be anything that you think that you're not getting or won't get. That's a position thing, right? But when I give it to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you and submit myself to others, it doesn't mean for you to stop trying to do what the Lord lays on your heart to do, but you'll have a peace saying, God's in control. Amen. Today I was able to submit to somebody else and put them in front of me. There's a peace that comes with that. You know? That's sitting in that restaurant and all the seats are full and they're taking them in order. And there that person comes in that can't stand. That's when you get up and you give them your seat. And all of a sudden, it feels good, don't it? If you're a Christian, it does because the Spirit is like, good job. Guess what? I'm going to make your meal taste that much better. That's the way God does it. But He doesn't stop there. I need to move on quickly so I can give you the rest of these things. I want you to see that in Matthew 20, Jesus continued to teach on this lesson. And understand, when he talks about first, last, we're talking about position. Tell me that word again. Position. Now listen, understand this about position, because our life is about battling for position. Understand that I'm a believer that God intentionally talks about first and last here, because after you're a Christian, number one, you do become entitled to God's promises. But listen, there's a position that happens after this life. What did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, because you've been unselfish, because you've given up, and anyone that gives up family, land, money, anything unselfishly, your time basically, Peter, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to allow you to sit on the 12, you guys to sit on the 12 thrones around me in my kingdom. Wouldn't that be the closest position to Jesus? Now listen here. Some people are saying, oh, what about heaven? What do we know about heaven? I believe we know something about heaven that we don't think about. We think heaven is about walking through a golden, a pearly gate and being able to see golden streets. And after that, our mind can't comprehend it. You know what heaven is about, eternal life is about? It's about position as far as how close you are to God throughout eternity. Amen. And here's the big deal. God gives you this life to, number one, submit to Him. That's how you get to Him. But then you use this life to position yourself for eternity to be close to God. And when you use this life to position yourself close to God, you can't be trying to fight in front of everybody. You have to be continually trying to submit to God and everybody else, because the best position to be close to God is the back of the line, because the last is first and the first is last. So I believe heaven not to be a place that you say, well, we're all just right here. There is a difference in the way you live your life to God as far as your proximity or closeness to God throughout eternity. God Himself says it's a position thing. When He says we're a kingdom of priests, well, I don't want to be a priest sitting in the nosebleed section, do you? I want to be on the front row, right? Do I deserve to be? No. Now, in life, I thought I was, because I was trying to equate everything. I want God to be able to say, hey, thanks for moving to the back of the line. Now, I got work to do in this area, do you? My carnal self, this is not natural. I can't stand in front of you and say, hey, I've conquered this, right? I'm preaching to me and preaching to you. This is something that we don't think about. Understand this. He goes on the very next story. And if you look down in chapter 20, verse 16, he says again, shall the first be last and the last first. For many be called, but few chosen. You see, these disciples thought they deserved it more. We see in verse 10, of chapter 20. Listen to what they said. It says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise received every man a penny. This is a story that Jesus told. Here's how the story went. There were laborers that went out into a field. There were some that came early, and they were promised a penny's wages to work that day. And they received at the end of the day the penny's wages. But there were some that came at the end of the day, and they were promised a penny's wages. And when the day was over, everybody got paid a penny. Isn't that what they were promised? Yes. But at the end of the day, the ones that came first weren't happy. We've been discriminated against. We've been slighted. This is our problem. We were here. We did more. We went through more suffering. We've done this and that, so we need to get more. Well, didn't he promise them one penny? That's what he gave them. And you know what he ended up saying? He ended up saying the first will be last and the last will be first. He was trying to give them a message saying, listen, you had a chance to work for me all those years. You had a choice and a chance to get nearer to the back of the line is what you got. That doesn't even comprehend with us sometimes. But listen, he's saying, no, you didn't suffer more as a Christian. You were able to suffer more as a Christian. So you were able to move other people in front of you so that you could be closer to me in eternity. Yes, you got the same thing here on this earth. But at the end of the day, you got a chance to be closer to me because that's cool, isn't it? As soon as he told that story, here comes a mother into the picture. We see as the story goes on, we get to the mother of James and John. And when you get to the mother of James and John, you're going to see that evidently she didn't hear anything that was being said. Because she comes up to Jesus and she says this. And this is James and John's mother. Listen to what she says. This is verses 20. Then came the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Come on, boys. But she came worshiping him. She was desiring a certain thing of him. This is what she said. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? That means, what do you want? She said to him, grant that these my two sons may sit, one on thy right hand and one on the left in thy kingdom. What did she want for her sons? What's our word again? Let's say it together. She wanted a better what? Position for her sons. And mothers will fight for them kids, right? I want a better position. You want to get somebody riled up? Take a position away from a mother's child, right? You don't want to do that. Why'd that child get a part? My child didn't get a part. Why is that person playing and my child didn't play? My child can do this and my child. We have this thing about our own children, but mothers especially. Listen, I was a little league coach. Give me two fathers coming to me instead of one mother, please. Right? They want them kids, and they're going to fight for them. And you know what? She's worshiping God. It's not like she's wrong. She says, I want my boys to have a better position with you. And Jesus turns to them, if you read this story, and says, you don't know what you're asking. Are you willing to drink of the cup I am? What he's saying is, hey, I'm going to be beaten, persecuted, mocked, and killed. I'm going to sacrifice my life. That's what you want to see happen to your children? And then he turned to the guy and said, is that what you want? Well, you indeed are going to get it because every one of those men ended up being martyrs. And they all moved to the back of the line, which is the front of the line. Get this. Let me tell you, it's amazing that we don't think about it, but when he turned to these disciples, he explained to them basically, the reason that I'm going to be on the throne is because I've given up everything. This is Jesus talking. I've given up my power. I've given up my authority. I've given up my resources, my comfort, even my life, so that you can be close to God. You know, Jesus did that. He started out the closest to God. He gave up everything so that we could be close to God. That's big, isn't it? But do you know that even when these disciples found out that James and John's mother wanted the position. I want you to see what happens here. You need to be aware of this. You need to be warned of this. Look at verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now, this is important, guys. Listen. And deacons, listen. Your job is to keep edifying the church. Your job is to keep the church a strong, functioning body working together. Understand inside of every person, every human being, even you, there is something inside of us that battles for position in life or position in the line. And there's something, Just like these disciples, that happens when we think someone else is getting a different position. It says they were moved with indignation against each other. Now, understand this. The disciples, well, they were the closest people to Jesus. You would think they would be the greatest, most absolute, upright Christian people. When you see the word against, the disciples at that time were divided against James and John. Why? Well, remember, it wasn't James and John that came. It was their mother. But they thought they were trying to get in line in front of them. So all of a sudden, you have division. Let me tell you, this is the biggest tool that the devil uses in churches everywhere. Your job is to be able to go out and edify the body and to be able to see these kind of things and serve unselfishly, knowing that if you put yourself behind, you're not going into a position of power. You're going into a position of servantship, a position of selfishness. In other words, if you start right here today, your job is to move this person and this person and this person and this person in front of you. Does that make sense? It's the opposite of what our carnal nature will tell us. It will tell us to fight for position. The spiritual nature will tell us, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The scripture will tell us, ye that are first will be last, and the last will be first. You see, it doesn't just happen in churches. It's happening all in our society today. If you turn on, you will realize that there are groups of people who are unwilling to give up any position in line because they think they're entitled to it. They deserve it. Whether they have to change a law, whether they have to demonstrate or protest, that's what they want to do. And so what happens? It causes resentment from one person to another person because of the sense of entitlement that people have today. And you've never seen more of a sense of entitlement than you see in this country today. And it all has to do with everyone's desire to have a better position in line. Excuse me, a better position in life. When the Bible tells us if you want to improve your position in life, your eternal life, and this life, be able to submit to someone else in this life. What truth Jesus speaks with these three stories. Understand, He paints a picture for us in Philippians. In Philippians 2, we're told, basically, that Jesus Himself took the form of a servant and made Himself of no reputation and sacrificed His life so that He could come to this earth and die. But the Bible tells us, be ye like-minded. In other words, here's what happened. Jesus did all this, and if you read the end of Philippians 2, let me read it to you because it's such strong words. In order for you to see this, you need to see here's how Jesus was rewarded for submitting to every person on this earth and giving unselfishly everything that He had. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, verse 9, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things of earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus made Himself last, God said, this is my crown jewel, my son. I will put Him at the head, at the top. He's the first. And all the lines start right in front of Him. So how do you get close to God throughout eternity? How do you receive the blessings and walk with the closeness of God that you feel in this earth where you're not worried, you're not full of anxiety, you're not struggling about your position or your health or your finances, even though they're real situations? You submit to God and say, I want to do what Jesus did. You go do those acts of unselfishness. You put yourself behind. You serve. You be inconvenienced. You give your heart to Him and then give your actions in life to Him and move somebody in front of you. You will walk with a closeness to God on this earth, but then in eternity, you will get yourself a position in eternity of closeness to God. How cool is that? I would hate to think after 7 billion years in heaven, I would look back and think, hey, those 70 temporary years that I had on earth really messed me up. I kept battling for my position in line. I didn't get it. Jesus told me first will be last and last will be first. What was it that kept making me want to be in front? What kept making me so mad that somebody broke in front and that they deserve this? What made me not want to let somebody? What made me want to do this and just be so selfish? It was that carnal nature. Well, Jesus was in me telling me, do this so that you can be closer to me. But I never seemed to work myself to the back of the line. So now in eternity, I'm in the back of the line. Because the first of the line is the back. And the back of the line is the first. To be a servant of God, you have to be able to accept the mentality, the spiritual mentality that Jesus preached with, which said, we've got it wrong. The devil wants us to keep getting it wrong. I want you to be able to submit yourselves one to another. That way you'll improve your position, not just in this life, but throughout eternity. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, listen, I want to tell you, my heart goes out for you because I used to be where you're at, but you're not even in line. To get in line, you have to accept that Jesus died for you. Believe it and submit yourself to God first, and He will save you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't think you have or you know you have it, I want to pray with you today. Come and we'll pray together. I want to be able to show you that God loves you. Jesus loved you enough to give Himself unselfishly and die for you so that you could get close to God. And Christian today, are you being the servant of God that He wants you to be? Or are you battling for a place in line in this life? Have you got caught up in it? To all your worries, everything that you're doing is focused around your position in this life. Listen. Let's listen to God's word. We might be doing it wrong. When's the last time you tried to put somebody in front of you? That's how you get closer to God. When's the last time you tried to submit to somebody else and put your concerns, your efforts, your conveniences aside so that you could serve somebody else? That's how you get close to God. The world will teach you differently. But the greatest teacher in the world, not me, Jesus, taught you today. Who are you going to listen to? Pray with me. Lord, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I thank You, God, for showing us in Your Word, Lord, the key to being close to You. I pray, God, that You would minister to each person here, that You would be able to speak to each heart here, Lord, in a way, God, that You know us, in a way that You know we will respond. If there's anyone here today that's lost, I pray, God, that they would come to salvation, accept Your Son Jesus as Savior. And Lord, today, for the Christians that are here, Lord, if You've shown us something today, Lord, I pray your response today will be Your servants gathered around asking You, Lord, to strengthen this part of them, so that they can continue, Lord, to submit to each other and be closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.